Thanks, everybody. The show is called Estrogen Rising, and it was created by myself. I was inspired by the Waking the Feminist movement and the debate in the Abbey Theatre last November. I went to that and I was pretty angry at what was going on. There was only one play by a woman, the whole Abbey Theatre's 1916 commemorations, and that was really a reflection of the whole state of the industry, so I thought I'm going to do something about that. So I invited 16 artists, we've got 19 or 20 now, to write a piece about a woman in the rising, all women, known or unknown, so it could be a granny or it could be Countess Markovitch and anyone in between. And we did it as part of the Five Lamps Arts Festival, and it was the biggest selling show. It was sold out. So tonight we've got the poets of Estrogen Rising. So I wrote this song called Estrogen Rising, and it's the opener of the show, and it's about Elizabeth O'Farrell. Thank you. Elizabeth O'Farrell, dead brushed from history. Big black boots and the hem of her dress erased from memory. On the corner of Bloor Street, a woman brave and fierce, like a surrender in her arms, she stood with Patrick Pearse. Estrogen rising, estrogen rising. Ooh. Later in her memoirs, she said she moved out of the way. She didn't want her picture in the paper the next day. When she saw the British soldier with a camera in her face, she knew it could be trouble, and wisely slipped away. Estrogen rising, estrogen rising. Estrogen rising, estrogen rising. Elizabeth O'Farrell was in the GPO. She was ordered out, she refused to go. Herself and Julia Brennan, working for the cause. Rifles fell over their shoulders, women fighting wars. Everyone, estrogen rising, estrogen rising. Ooh. Well, I did a little research, found that she was gay. Not a great woman on my side, it bit of a ray. Fought beside her lover, bullets were denied. Buried in Glasnevin, together side by side. Estrogen rising, estrogen rising.
Chauvinist to my feminist girlfriend in order to have lots of angry sex. She said, what do you know about it? What do you know about it? Yay! So it's worked. So when I started to look into Women of the Rising, it was I'd never really thought about it before, but really, women really were kind of airbrushed out of the whole, of the rising thing, and it kind of wasn't right, man. So, Bernard said there's going to be women about known or unknown in the estrogen rising, so I heard some interesting stories about a grand aunt of mine who saw a young man hanged in Roscommon, and she was a nun. And she joined up, and as a nun, she was able to kind of get away with murder. I also heard a story about a woman who moved to Australia. Not technically, she was forgiven, I'm sure. And I heard a great story about a woman who was a prostitute in a brothel in Ranelagh. And the week coming up to the rising, she said she was in a nursing home in Australia, and she told this story to a friend of mine who worked there. And she talked about all the young men coming in who had never, got their end away at all with a woman. Because some of them, they knew that they were going to die before they go. So this is called Hookers, Nuns and Mummies. So Ireland had a rising, Easter 1916. They had the hump with Britain and its cursed foreign spleen. The men all got together, rebellion on the cards. The teachers were revolting with the artists and the bards. There were bullets, bombs, explosions, there was bloodshed by the barrel, gunboats blowing buildings up, the chance of success was narrow. In school we learned the legends, proclamations on the walls, of the executed leaders of those men who had real balls. And the balls of steel and balls of brass and balls of pure cast iron, some had balls the size of turnips when the cannons began firing. And how these men all died for Ireland, how their lives were sacrificed. But it dawned on me years later, that part of our history had been spliced, or sliced even. Not a word about the ladies, barely a paragraph, airbrushed from the legends. Sure, the lads were having a laugh. But sadly, yes, it was a joke, but no one chuckled, no one grinned. The church ordained our freedoms gained without the feminine. There was girls from coming to Mon, bringing bullets to their boys, store clerks up from Gorey, girls from coming to Mon, bringing bullets to their boys without which they wouldn't have lasted long. There was some counts and some countesses counting on themselves for liberty, not content with sowing dresses, but sowing seeds of anarchy. There were nurses on the front line who saved 1,000 lives. There were nuns who went to prison for administering last rites. There was hookers up in Ranelagh who could rightly boast with pride that many a child soldier left a man after the ride, or saw an apple bosom upon which they merely cried. And they held their heads and gave some comfort to the patriots who died. And all the mothers that once smothered their children with their love, who sought solace from a virgin, who viewed the violence from above. And those women keen, the women called, the women cried, the women bawled. But women walked the miles of medicine, woven in their woolen shawls. And some gave up their virginities and some died with it intact, but it never made it into history through omission of the facts. And through submission of this gender, the contrition wrote the tale, and the missionary's position was, the Easter Rising was all male. And the leaders executed single-handedly achieved that freedom long disputed, but in truth we were deceived. Because only for the women, every girl that took up arms, and every nurse that stitched a wound, each lady that faced harm, and all the mothers and the sisters of the brothers and their sons, who smuggled messages and medicine, who faced the British guns, whose tales were never written in the annals of our lore, but somehow their deeds were designated to Ireland's cutting room floor. But today we tell it proudly for the women not around, lest their courage, care and contribution be somehow left buried in the ground. And of the women of the rising, we still have much to learn. We're embracing history and her story and this chance we owe to Byrne. Thank you. I've just been informed that I have to introduce the next act.
Oh, sorry.
Fantastic lady from Derry.
Legendary.
Legendary, thank you. Put your hands together, please, for Abby Oliveira. Thank you.
This one is based on Margaret Skinner. When I was doing my research for this commission, I came across Margaret Skinner. I'd never heard of her, and I fell in love with her. Margaret was a powerhouse. So the British Army, ironically enough, were the people who taught Margaret to shoot. And when I found out that Margaret was also a professional lady, a teacher, I just got this image in my head of her sitting as a young woman in this classroom with all these Waynes doing their times tables, and her staring swiftly out the window, just thinking about revolution. And I wrote this, it's called Sniper. Often made me think of Sheila Nagigs, that one window, black with coal, fused into stone wall, the torment of prisoners. The portal of light that split my classroom in two on good days, the shod and the unshod. Light the children called God or angels on good days, rarer than miracles. And I've prayed. Best believe I have prayed, but as yet, not one wee dissident in the entire class, not one, even threatening to take the initiative, wipe away the filth, gaze out through that black glass and say, look, miss, snowdrops on snowdrops, miss, even the season shall never be at peace. And yeah, they'd hang me. Draw me, quarter me, then immolate me just to be sure, if they knew how oft a handsome soldier stared back at me from that glass. If they knew how even the drone of times tables from tiny regimented mouths are intoned with the rhythm of rebellion now. 9 times 1 is 9. 9 times 2 is 18. Beat. 9 times 3 is 27. 9 times 4 is 36, pop, pop, pop. 9 times 5 is left, right, left. 9 times 6 is Glasgow smog. The daughter of cannon fire, the portal of light, the Irish boat. My fated feet and boots nicked from some man's doorstep with not one feck given. This is me. This is me in my wildest dreams. Legions of women marching down Leeson Street, sexy in all the colours of the land. Their broken-hearted husbands weep from tenement doorways, waving hankies with babies on both hips. And me, Miss Skinner, I exist. I have dreamed about this ever since I was a wee dissident on Ash Street, Dublin. The worst in the world, where the poor, infected and starving dwell amidst the ruins of grandeur. My own privilege hung round my neck like a bag of precious stones. Miss Skinner, sniper, ring finger hooked round trigger until death do us part. The terror, stray bullets searching for homes, they pass like shooting stars. Mrs. Skinner, I'm scared. I am scared of pain. That's why I'm marching. That's why I'm marching. Codename Miss Skinner. Aims the master's tool at the master's house with mathematical precision. More than once does she see a man fall. Couldn't see their faces, but I remember them all. Miss Skinner, are you all right, Quine? The headmaster, in priestly black, casts a shadow over me akin to that of the British Empire over Earth. 3 puce, ill-disciplined chins beneath a deviant's grin. You're gone with the fairies gazing out that window, says him. Why, you must be in love. Is that right? In my wildest dream, I am the supreme self-confidence of Sheila Nagig. Spread myself wide open to watch the world of men tremble in its leather boots. I will my eyes to mist over like the Mourne Mountains. Flutter my lashes like a virgin's fan. It is no lie when I grab his gaze by its neck and say, I, Headmaster, I am the beloved of Saoirse na Héireann. You don't know her, but we're planning an Easter wedding. Maybe you should come. And then I rise, wired from teeth to hat to brassiere with bits of bombs under stylish young professionals' trench coats, and exit the class like a countess with all the purpose of a perfect shot. He still thinks I'm joking 20 minutes after I'm gone. He does not see me falter on the docks, nor doubt cast shadows over me in the shade of the Irish boat. In my wildest dream, me and Saoirse na Héireann fornicate under a pagan moon. We tell our offspring all the ancient tales of Ireland. Once upon a time, children, imperialist forces with armoured tanks and guns came to take away Ireland's sons. But, unfortunately for them, Ireland's sons were a bunch of mad bastards. And as for Ireland's daughters, oh, sweet Jesus, Ireland's daughters. Now there's a story seldom heard. Thank you very much, folks.
Show for the first years for quite a long time. I mean, they used to get always Countess Markovitch, and then they kind of struggled to get Lady Gregory, who wasn't exactly a combatant, and Maud Vaughan. That's about all they could ever think of. But things have gone hopefully a little bit better. In Dublin a few years ago, we had a great campaign to name a bridge, the first bridge over the Liffey, after a woman. And that bridge is called Rosie Hackett Bridge, after Rosie. I've got a poem about her in a minute. And hopefully in the next few years, like, everybody's now getting Rosie Hackett in my friends list, and hopefully in the next few years they'll get Margaret Skinner and various other people, Elizabeth Farrell and various other people we mentioned tonight. And I think it's important to get those women in the history books. So, So I wrote a poem for the opening of the Rosie Hackett Bridge. It's a sonnet, and I'll sing a song after that. It's called Naming a Bridge. To make a bridge, you first must see the gap, then fling yourself full length across the space, like Rosie Hackett did for 60 years, the factory girl who did not know her place. Ah, Rosie knew that place and all its ills, the 60-hour week on the factory floor, the union badge that barred you from your work, the strike turned back upon the locked-out poor. Her life's three struggles forged one steely frame, the fight for women, workers, and the plough. She raised a rebel banner from a roof. For workers' holidays, she raised a row. A name so nearly lost, now cast in stone, to name this bridge reclaims her for her own. Thanks. Okay. Thanks to Bern for lending me her guitar for this. This is a song I wrote about the women of 1916 for the show, and it's called The Rebel Sisterhood. Is that on?
Yeah,
there's a pick. Yeah, thank you. Wonder why it sounded so weird.
Hey.
Tell me, where did the women go when the men marched into the GPO? Well, Catherine Byrne, when a man said no, she looked at him and grinned, oh. With the help of two fellas in the know, they pushed her up from the street below. To a window ledge of the GPO, she jumped in through the window, I hope. She jumped in through the window. Granny, what was your position when the fella poured an ammunition? I'd a mattress stashed with armaments and a gun in the undergarments. I'd seditious notes and he piled a pair tucked into a hat so debonair. And I wore a smile and an innocent air as I passed the British soldiers, oh, as I passed the British soldiers. Mammy, what did the mothers say as the sons and husbands marched away? Some poor women were terrified and they locked themselves and the girls inside. But Mrs. Byrne said, do you have no pride? Would you live forever occupied? Go out and fight by your brother's side, cause we're equals in the struggle, oh, we're equals in the struggle.
This does not sound right, I'm not sure why.
What kind of women, tell to me, went out to fight for liberty? Counter-resistance and a countess too, women like me and women like you. There were straights with their mates who were best of friends, doctors, lawyers and thespians. And we're still counting up the lesbians among the rebel sisterhood, among the rebel sisters. Sisters, what did the women say when the men faced execution day? Markovitch said, would you not shoot me? Well, I wish you'd have the decency. Cause I didn't fight just for liberty, but for suffrage and equality. So let us perish equally, the children of the nation, children of the nations. For we're equals in the struggle, though, we're equals in the struggle. And we are the rebel sisterhood. We are the Rebel Sisters. Thank you. And next up is Cork's own wonderful Julie Gooch. I'm going to do a poem that I wrote for tonight, and I'm going to sing a song then that I didn't write for tonight. Mother Ireland, Mother Ireland, Mother Ireland. Mother Ireland, would you look at the state of yours? Her voice slapped me from my sleep, echoing, beckoning throughout the day, until I lay once more, myself Bosco, Mary Robinson, went through the magic door. Ireland in black and white, but all are Caucasian. Feet stumble on streets of rubble, smell of lead. The proclamation is being read, dismissed as a sectarian soapbox by passers-by. I see a teddy-shaped tear fall from Banba's eye. She grabs my hand and off we go, whizzing above rooftops, the rising below. Her fingers sprout roots, we land by the hand of Maud Gonne. Where has Maud gone? I hear her ask. In the military memories of a nation, how has such a brave transformation in the psyche of our tribe been overlooked? History books cooked on palatable gingerbread men.
What about those ginger women who bred ginger kids? Open the lids of their minds, instill them with loyalty, empathy, pride. In Hina the Naharan, guided by the heart of Maud, called for Irish freedom long before the big boys of Sinn Féin found their voice. Women of Ireland, women of Ireland, women of Ireland, women of Ireland. Would you look at the state of yours? Her voice slapped me from my sleep, echoing, beckoning throughout the day, until I lay once more. Myself, Mr. Tato, and Dana went through the magic door. In Ginnad and Aheron, not only sought freedom for Ireland, her men, women and children, she said, but equality. Women of the movement saw beyond nationalism, patriotism. Perhaps their aim was matriotism. They were at the front line of family life, carried and buried many a child, wild eyes, wise hands, few words. Not a female signature in sight. Photos, names omitted from textbooks. Coming them on, an afterthought, placenta to the male agenda. Daughters of Ireland, rise and be acknowledged for fighting with your minds, hands and hearts. Rise and be acknowledged for modest multitasking, never seeking to bask in the limelight, the twilight zone that is history. Daughters of Ireland, daughters of Ireland, daughters of Ireland, daughters of Ireland. Would you look at the state of yours? Her voice slapped me from my sleep, echoing, beckoning throughout the day, until I lay once more. Myself, Yeats and Maud went through the magic door. He got down on one knee and apologised. How can such a revolutionist as Maud be best remembered as one man's muse? A love interest, mute. Bamba roared, "Wake the fuck up, my children! Would you look at the state of yours?" Yay! I'm not afraid to sing with the music in the background. I find it very off-putting.
Well, you're a pirate to stop for a few minutes.
I sat me with my true love. My sad heart strove the truth between the old love and the new love. The old and the new that made me think of Ireland dearly. While so the wind blow down the glade and shook the golden vine. 'Twas hard those woeful words to frame that break the ties that bound us, yet harder still to bear the shame of foreign chains around us. And so I said the mountain glen I'll meet at morning early and join those bold united men as suffering shook the barley. 'Twas sad I kissed away his tears, my arms to comfort and hold him, as a full moon shone us down our wheels from out the wild woods within. A bullet pierced my true love's side, In life young spring so early, and on my breast in blood he died, a soaking jewel of barley. Good blood for blood, without remorse, I've taken to his hollow. I've laid my true love's clay like corpse, where I full soon must follow. Around his grave I wander drear, in night and morning early. With broken heart, when near I hear the softened shades of barley. For me, Bobby. Next up, GC John Cummins, Jesus Christ himself.
JG, Judy Goo. To find a way into this estrogen rising was challenging, and I found a way in through listening to a radio documentary that's just type in the Women of the Rising. It was, I think it was made in 1963, when a lot of people who were elderly ladies chatting about it, and I kind of looped a few soundscapes together, and that was for the first one. Then the second one in April, then Baron kind of was like, I'm get the scribble on, get the scribble on. So, kind of, yeah. So, and if you remember Paul Hardcastle's the 19, yeah, so I was like playing around with that. And so I'm going to fuse two things in the fusions. And there's a woman at the rising outside there, God bless. This is my 1916 pound, stored by the ward of the women of the rising, known and unknown. You see, I downloaded these radio documentaries onto the phone and hourly imbued the rebellious tone of courageous couriers, fearless risk takers. Handshakers who became fearless fist makers. Uniformed soldiers, uniformed nurses, women interwoven in the volunteer forces. Menomina, thank you to thank you. Menomina, warm on the band. Menomina, thank you to thank you for standing, for standing, for standing, for standing, for standing up against the man. I have done a ton of listening to the women of the rise, and I literally went loopy, acoustically analysing their role in their those turbulent listogenital days when Dublin city centre became a bullet-ridden bomb that burned and blazed, and so we're all at it now, all turning gaze back a century now, and to me, do not know about ye, it is elementary how those women took up arms against the crown. They chose the roads and not the lie down. Menomina, thank you to thank you. Menomina, come on the band.
Menomina,
thank you to thank you for standing, for standing, for standing, for standing, for standing up against the man. The women of the rising, the countess, Skinadair, or Fardlane, Mary on the buses, on the stops. I heard of her name for the first time tonight. What's it? Have a look at your bus stops there, Cork. Yeah, Nora Connolly, Rosie Hackett, the women of the rising, in the proclamation, yet still in bracket. The women of the rising, a semicolon in the constitution. The women of the rising, re-inspire Ireland into an overdue revolution. Equal rights, equal portion, no contortion. The right to abortion. The women of the rising, your lead is there for Twitter us to follow and repeat. Women of the rising, we too can take to the street. Manana. Thank you to thank you,
mana mana.
Come on the band,
mana mana.
Thank you to thank you for standing, for standing, for standing, for standing up against the man. Gord of Mahagwith, Manana 1916. You will always rise us. You're not the passing father of fading scene. Wherever Ireland goes, you will go too. And as Ireland ever grows, you will grow too. Your bravery still enlightens, brightens a spark to now ablaze. Your flame still gives us an ill remember of an ember to now ablaze. Women of the rising, may this old rise to meet you. Women of the rising, put simply, I salute you. Mana mana, thank you to thank you.
Mana mana,
come on the band.
Mana mana,
thank you to thank you for standing, for standing, for standing, for standing up against the man. I hear her calling me, hear her calling me, hear her calling me home again. Now the ma's at the door, oh how she roared out. In now you, your dinner is poured out. In now you, you were so wanted acoustically, it seems, oh you haunted. By the ghosts of my childhood caller. Abby, come on, are you stalling? Cormac, come on, are you playing? Now we're staying in this Rolls Rangers, Rovers are rarely straying. I hear her calling me, hear her calling me, hear her calling me home again. Now the man's at the gate, so the bellow travels forward in. You wait until I tell your father I thought I told you not to leave the road. But I was busy breaking boundaries, ma leaving, fix the bow, the boy by the rules. Don't hang around the shops when it's Abby, come on, we're gonna stroke two pups. Come on, let's stall into the pond. Absconding from the roars, range, the rovers roams beyond. I hear her calling me, hear her calling me, hear her calling me home again. Now the ma's at the corner, position clatter hover, overstep the border, condition spot a bother. I'm not that late, ma, I was only having a buzzer. I'm telling your dad what she never ever does. Sure, I'll sweeten her up with a cup, milk no sugar. Tactile tactics, the mother's a natural born hugger bugger. No more within the roars range, the rovers all reared up, but it stirred up the memory, trousers, nostrils all flared up. I hear her calling me, hear her calling me, hear her calling me home again. Now the ma's on the mobile, and the coverage is global, and chatting for the wee world makes the earlobe smile. Ma's not as agile, in fact she's fairly fragile, she lives within a few miles. Aging in true style. She has this hearing aid she doesn't like to be wearing, so when she bells these days, she's still sort of roaring. She asked about the ponds and I asked about the garden, and then she yelled, bell tells that at six she'll be pouring. Mana mana, thank you to thank you.
Mana mana,
come on the band.
Mana mana,
thank you to thank you for standing, 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 for standing up against the man.
Thank you, John. We're just going to finish now with one last song. And I just want to thank everybody. Thank you to Abby and Cormac, yes! Catherine Ann, yes! Julie, and John, and myself. Yeah. This is a song called Grace Gifford, and she's married to Joseph Plunkett. Anyway, Grace, I just read a book about her, and she's a fascinating character. Her family were very, very wealthy. Her mother was an Anglo-Prod and was very anti-Irish, and her father was Catholic. And she was a revolutionary in her own right, and a great old character, so here we go. So the Rebel Brothers and Sisters here are going to join in as well.
Grace Gifford died on her own after a life of renown. Bloody blue shirts didn't pay their dues. Denied her civil pension till 1932. Ah, Grace Gifford was a tragic bride. Married Joseph Plunkett 4 hours before he died. By a firing squad, he made in jail on the 4th of May. And I prayed to God. She was an artist and a suffragette, a rebel and a fighter, yeah. Married in a church dark and close. She bought the ring on Grafton Street that day. They said I do, and Joe was led away to the firing squad.
Thank you and good night. We're